Are you tired of defending the true spirit of metal from posers and millennials? Are you exhausted from having to explain your hateful rants to the weak-minded? After a long day of working hard to insult as many people as possible, you deserve some relief. Butthurt Cream is here to help. Simply apply Butthurt Cream directly to your affected butthurt areas for fast, effective ego soothing. Protect your carefully crafted persona and face each new day as a refreshed, terrible human being. Butthurt Cream. Because your feelings matter too. Use promo code TOILETFLUSH for 10% off your first order. You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.
Caesar's Ghost. You just heard Hellionaires. That's the latest single from Trap Them, from their upcoming album, Crown Feral. That's going to be out on September 23rd via Prosthetic Records. And if it's anything half as good as their previous album, Blissfucker, I am super, super stoked about that. I am Joe Thrashenkill. With me, as always, is Randall Thor. This is the Toilet of Hell radio show. Thank you so much for joining us. Randall, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm just petting Albus because he's sitting in my lap purring away. And probably about to disagree with you on that Trap Them track.
Please tell me what your beef is with Hellionaires.
Okay, first off, if you're going to act like Hellionaires is a sweet track name, fine, but you never get to make fun of any of the nerd stuff I like anymore, because that's a really dumb, nerdy name. Hellionaires.
I think Hellionaires is an awesome name. Like,
is it like Millionaires Hellionaires, or is it like Legionnaires Hellionaires?
I was thinking that it's like you're so rich, but you're rich in hell.
So like, if it was like Legionnaire Hellionaires, I'd be all about that. You know, Hellionaires, they get sent out of hell to, you know, kill good things because they're Hellionaires, or the legions of hell, you know? But Hellionaires, like, haha, we got money, and we're mean.
Yeah, like, my pocket's so fucking fat with all this demon. I don't know. I'd seen.
But it wouldn't be cool, though. It would just be like that Martin Shkreli guy who just buys drugs that people need and then raises the price on them just to be a dick. That's what a Hellionaire would be,
so,
in your definition.
And you know what? That actually sounds kind of cool. I want somebody to write a record about people like Shkreli, because he's a total asshole, and that's like prime songwriting material.
But now you don't think Hellionaires are so cool anymore, do you?
I still think it's kind of cool. Like, even though I loathe this guy to my very core, a small smidgen of me has to respect him for just completely selling out any semblance of morals to make money.
Yeah, no, you're a horrible human being if you think that. You realize this, right?
I'm saying it's a small part of me. It's not a massive part of me. There's just a tinge in the back of my skull. It's like, you know, I wish that I had the ability to completely sell out everything that I stand for to make a little bit of scratch.
You know, there's a small part of me that wants to slay all posers I meet with steel on sight, but I don't do that either, so I guess you get away with it.
Fair enough. I'm just saying, this. Have you ever listened to Trap Them before?
Well, this is another funny thing I didn't tell you before the show. I don't know why, but for whatever reason, I always thought Trap Them, I always got them mixed up either with Trapped or The Haunted. I don't know why.
That is a weird...
It's just this weird brain connection I never was able to shake. So I never listened to them. So I just figured, oh, it's just generic stuff. I don't listen to that. So obviously, that sounds nothing like either of those bands.
No, it does not.
And is nowhere near as bad as either of those bands. So, good. Yay. I will listen to Trapped Them now, because that sounds great to me. It's like grindy, DBD fun.
Yeah, it's very kind of dark, satanic style, Kurt Ballou core, if you will.
Sure. It kind of gets a little generic at the end for me, though. Very melodic. If you just switch any of those little progressions to a major key, I could see a bunch of kids with swoop haircuts jumping up and down playing that riff.
See, I think this is just ideal music for, you know, you and your rowdy fellows to go out and have a great time.
Yeah, but I could just listen to Thin Lizzy for that.
It's a different vibe. I mean, I won't...
Yeah, like, if I wanted to, like, go snort coke out of a bathroom in a dive bar and then, like, get in a fight with somebody because I'm on my sixth bump of coke, then, yeah, this sounds great. But if I want to actually, you know, genuinely have a good time and then make it back to my own house without being in jail, then Thin Lizzy's more up my alley.
Yeah, and I'm getting so old, man. Like, I've been listening to pretty much just Thin Lizzy the last couple of weeks.
Isn't it good?
It really is. It does. It just, everything about it is perfect. And I like to go out. I like to have a couple of beers. I'm too old to do the whole partying all night thing, getting in fights. I had like 5 beers last night, and my entire essence is wrecked today.
Really? I can still put them down, but I mean, I don't do it unless I want to. There's no necessity for it. There was like a short time when there was, like, I feel like I needed to, but now I'm just like, yeah, I want one. That's fine. That's good. Like when the Discordia boys were over here, they've got it down to an art. It never ends, but they never are out of control or drunk or anything either. It's just nonstop consumption.
Well, that's just pro touring attitude. You know, you gotta. Mm-hmm. Be able to party, but you got to keep it together so you can get to the next town and keep partying.
Right, but they also appreciate the stuff they're drinking as well. There's no, outside of the bottle of whiskey, there's no cheap stuff that they're drinking. It's all fancy beers, preferably local, so they can try beers from all over the country. And it's really impressive to me to watch them just, as I worked from home one of the days, and we go out to lunch, and they started drinking then. And then we came back, and they had beers in their cooler and in my fridge, and they were drinking those all day while I was still working. And then I got done working, and then we, you know, made that amazing artistic flute video.
Right.
And we were all dead sober. It was people were like, how much alcohol is involved? Ho, ho, ho. I'm like, no, I don't know if it's better or worse, but I was incredibly sober for all of that.
Well, those boys must treat tour like some kind of kid in a candy store experience. They're from Oklahoma, where beer is, by law, restricted to, I think, 3% alcohol by volume.
Really?
Yeah, no, it's completely backwards.
Man, even PBR is more than that, isn't it?
Oh, PBR is like a 5%. Like, most crappy American lager like that is 5%.
It's 3 to 5, yeah. Oh, God, that's awful. So, yeah, they come out of the state, and suddenly they can, like, drink these 9%er IPAs that they're all obsessed with, which I don't know if you agree with me or not, but I think IPAs are disgusting.
I'm an IPA person. I prefer that to darker beers.
You disgust me.
That's fair. The whole point of this is that in between going to the gym yesterday and today and drinking 5 beers, my body is completely and utterly wrecked. It's too late for me, man. I can't party anymore.
How old are you?
I am a couple weeks shy of 29.
Okay, so you're a little bit older than me. I'm getting up to the point where I have to actually diet now, and that is the worst.
I mean, dieting is... Okay, so first of all, you can't look at it as a diet, because then it won't work for you. You just have to make sensible changes that are long-term, like cutting out sodas. Do you drink soda?
I gave up soda a couple years ago, but the pizzas and beers counter out soda pretty well.
I mean, think to yourself, would you rather have a beer or would you rather have a pizza? You got to make that distinction and you know, dig.
Well, what I do is I just eat super duper healthy all throughout the week. And so I eat super low calorie meals that are filling. And then for dinner, I come home, eat like a couple hot dogs and not much on them, maybe barbecue sauce and a little bit of cheese. And that's it. That's my everything I eat for the day. And if I get hungry, I just chug a few glasses of water, and then I'm set, you know?
I think we need to work out a dietary plan that'll work for you. But we can do that at a time that we're not making everybody else listen to us.
Yes, I just thought about that. All right, so speaking of disgusting things, there was an article posted Friday. I'm trying to pull it up because I don't remember the name of the band.
I believe you're referring to a review that Leif Berikson wrote for Newman Orion.
Is that how you say it?
I believe that's how you say it. I'm not.
I would say Numenorian.
Numenorian. Newman. One of those things.
Newman. You're calling him Newman from now on.
Yeah. That particular review kicked off a bit of a firestorm in the comments of discussion, and not because they're a black gays band. It's because. The artwork featured on that record is of a 2-year-old little girl that had been murdered. That's a real photograph from a 1970s murder. And the band, when questioned about it, had a really good reasoning for using that and making an artistic statement that jived with the message of their record. But at the end of the day, you still put a dead 2-year-old on your album cover, which is a little hard to stomach for almost anyone, man. Like, as hardcore as a lot of metalheads like to be, you know, I'm not offended by anything, you're offended. But that's just a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing, especially in death metal, where you have all these artwork with people, usually women, because... You know, death metal is created by children.
True.
But or both, which is fine by me. Usually death metal album artwork is just depicting brutal torture, evisceration, and absolute savagery on human flesh. Just, you know, you have gruesome dudes or cannibals eating people or any generic brutal slam death metal band where it's just corpses being mutilated by giant, fat, sweaty dudes. Which I'm not even making up, which is the best part.
Yeah.
But it's always a giant, fat, sweaty dude. And it's different then because it's usually artwork. It's usually not that realistic. It's usually kind of cartoony. And it makes me personally laugh because it's just so absurd, you know?
And most of these things don't have any kind of – they're not meant to have any emotional heft behind them. They're just shock value.
It's just literally kind of, look, this fat, sweaty guy is ripping a dude in half while his girlfriend watches. Ha ha. And it's funny to me because it's just so absurd. It's just ridiculous. But there's nothing tying it to something in the real world that says this is based on a real tragedy or actual photos of an actual murdered child.
I mean, I can think of a few notorious examples that are similar, but it's just not the same. Example, Piss Graves' last record was just a bathtub full of sludge, essentially, of a person that had died and liquefied in their bathtub. It's if you haven't seen that, I mean, don't eat pea soup while you're looking at it. and then there was that Mayhem bootleg.
That's the one I was thinking of, Dawn of the Blackhearts.
Yeah, that had a dead cover of it with his brains blown right out. I mean,
and that makes more sense coming from Mayhem, despite the questionability of the choice of putting their Dead Euronymous on their album cover.
But
Mayhem, with their extreme character and their extreme violence and their actual actions.
And that was a grown man who made that decision on his own that was obsessed with death and with this band. So if anything, that's as fitting as it could be. Of course, that's tough on his family. His family, of course, sued Varg to get rid of that. Yeah, Varg is such...
But you have to ask the question with stuff like this is, at what point is it exploitive or too much? Or how do you make a violent and shocking image still tasteful despite the fact that you want it to shock and offend?
I think the best way that I can put this is that the band wanted this to symbolize the death of innocence, which is a fitting take on the entire record that they meant to make. But at the end of the day, you're still promoting your band with the image of a dead child. So you can have a really good reason to do it, but it still has a tinge of exploitation to it. And it's up to the individual artist and of course, the consumer in this case, if they're willing to accept that. That's a tough one for me, man. I don't think that I could pull the trigger on that vinyl purchase for that reason.
Personally, I don't care in this case because they don't seem like they're crazy, aggressive, stupid people.
No, on the contrary, I think they're very intelligent.
I think they're intelligent. I think they have a really good reason for using it, and they really thought it out. Versus, like, if Varg decided to release a new album and he put a 2-year-old dead child, he would just be... I would have no respect for that. I would not listen to anything he has to say about it. It would just be him being an idiot. But in this case, I mean, I listened to a little bit of the track, but then, like, as soon as I started hitting play, I listened to the first track. It was nice. And then the Star Spawn stream came out, and I did nothing but listen to Star Spawn the rest of the day.
That's fair. I spoke with a member of the band. He sent the record to us personally because Season of Mist doesn't care about us with good reason. So I spoke with him a bit about the record, and Leaf did a ton of listening on his own and research of this as well. I mean, the conclusion that we have is that, again, this was really well-reasoned, if not well-intentioned. So, individual listener, that's up to you if you're into it or not.
Mm-hmm. I think in this case, like if I had to choose, I'd say they fall on the safe side. I think you could do better. I mean, there's tons of talented artists out there who could depict horrible, awful things that would represent the same imagery that you're looking for here. But I think in this case, you know, if you like the music and you like them, I think they're not trying to be a B-bad. They're just trying to make a statement, and it requires heavy imagery that they've chosen.
And sometimes art is heavy. That's just the way it is.
Speaking of heavy, what are we playing next, Joe?
Well, I think that you might have tipped our hand a little bit, you jerk.
What do you mean?
I am a huge, huge Blood Incantation fan, so I was so stoked.
You think we should play that next?
I think we have to. Here it is, Star Spawn by Blood Incantation. We'll be right back. That's that good stuff. You just heard Starspawn. That's the latest from Blood Incantation. We've got a new record coming out called Starspawn. It'll be out, I believe, next week. And in the post directly after this one, you can expect to read a full review courtesy of, again, Leif Berikson.
Dude is a reviewing machine.
He really is. So for the show today, I pulled up their Bandcamp. I was going to download that one song, pay for the digital download, just plug it into our recorder here. And I decided, no, I have to have the full vinyl version of this as well as the digital download. So,
yep, that's what I did. I went on there and I was like, oh, yeah. Pre-order options, vinyl. And then I noticed how much the vinyl was. What was it, 16, 17 bucks?
17 bucks.
This is, any vinyl under $20, I cannot resist. It's kind of like if you put a cat in front of me, I'm going to pet it every time. And if you put a vinyl on Bandcamp for under $20, it could be like anything. That as long as I reasonably like the band, I'll just immediately click buy and put in my PayPal info and I'm done. So, yeah, I got that Starspawn coming.
Yeah, everybody needs to listen to this one. This Blood Incantation is so sick. This album is a riff machine.
Yeah, it's really... This track is kind of representative of the rest of the album, except for maybe the first track, which is more time-ghouly with the long, extended tracks, big atmospheric parts and stuff like that. But, you know, I've seen a lot of people talking about how complex the album is, and I don't really get that vibe. Not that it's poor, it's fantastic, but it's just a really strong, creative riff monster album, and I think they did an exceptional job with the reverb on the guitar and vocals.
Oh, yeah.
And the leads are exceptionally well done. It's just really exceptionally well written, old school death metal in the vein of they probably take more time goal influence than most of the other modern death metal bands that are going back to the old school death metal style for inspiration.
Well, there is quite a bit of technical death metal in this record, which I'm not normally into tech death, but this hits everything right for me.
Right, and I think a lot of that has to do with the production, too, because it's like old school death metal. It's muddy, it's big, it allows itself to breathe and inhale and exhale with the riffs, because instead of just going, 320 beats per minute for 5 minutes straight...
Arc spire.
Yeah, it can... It goes fast, and you can hear everything fine, although it's a little muddy, muddier than what you would expect a tech death band, where you can hear the dudes breathing on their guitar strings. And this one, on the other hand, slows down, says, hey, here's a riff, here's a doomy part, whatever, and allows the songs to really become more dynamic works than versus a tech death song where it's nonstop scale practice for 5 minutes.
Yes. So there you have it, folks. That's our word on the matter. You need to go out and pre-order Starspawn by Blood Incantation out next week on Dark Descent Records immediately.
Do it.
And I think now is a good time. We have a very special guest on the show this week.
Very special.
He's been a part of the Toilet, an essential part of the Toilet since the very beginning. I think aside from W and maybe myself, he's published more pieces on the blog than anyone else. The one, the only, 365 Days of Horror.
How's it going, everybody?
Nice use of the ham horn. Great to have you on the show today, 365. I thought it would be fun if you would join us and maybe help us answer some fan-submitted questions. What do you think?
I would love to do that.
All righty, then. Let's get started. Joe, would you like me to take the lead on this one, or you want to start the first question, or what?
Randall, you take it away.
All right. If elected, what is your administration's plan to deport all wimps and posers?
I think that we should give 365 first dibs on this one. 365, you're elected president. You have to do something about this wimp and poser problem. What do you do?
Build lockers as far as the eye can see so you could just jam as many people in them. Then strap a rocket to them and send them to the moon.
See, you got to make Mexico pay for those lockers.
Make everyone pay for the lockers.
Well, if he's shooting them to the moon, though, shouldn't he make the moon pay for it?
No, those moon people have had it too good for too long, sucking on the government tit.
That's right. So just for our listeners, these are questions we ask from the Toilet File Facebook group. If you want stupid questions to get answered occasionally, we will ask you for them, and you can submit your stupid questions, and we'll ask them. So, Joe, what would be your plan to deport
Wimps and Posers.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a tough call because I feel like a lot of my best friends are Wimps and Posers. I don't want to start this immediate badging of people who could be perhaps affiliated with Wimps and or Posers.
Yeah, I mean, that would be our 95% of our reader base immediately.
That's true.
You got to pull off the Band-Aid. You got to do it real quick.
Yeah. No, no sympathy. Just get it done. It'll be better afterwards.
I think we have to do something about the Scourge of Gent, and that I, for some reason, people keep sending it to me in my inbox, so I assume that it's still a popular thing.
I mean, considering Gent bands like to play with ad money and then get themselves up to like 100,000 likes when all 90,000 of those are from Indonesia and from fake accounts, I, for one, find this endlessly entertaining to watch them screw up like that.
So, yeah, I guess the solution is finding some kind of visual marking for Wimps and Posers and deporting them. In this case, it would be a large earlobe.
Well, in my case, I think you hit the nail on the head for my plan, personally. So, if I was elected president, I would immediately, very post-dystopian future, have speakers set up in every city, in every town, so that I could control these, right? And, you know, first couple of years, just building the speakers, making sure they're going up, make sure they work. And then after 2 years, immediately, nonstop, riot, thunder, steel for the rest of these people's lives. Posers will melt. They'll die. They can't stand true metal like that, you know?
You listen to a lot of Riot.
Riot's really good. I could also play Manowar. Just nonstop Manowar, Riot, Liege Lord, Sabotage, some old school Omen, just any 80s speed metal, power metal band, and it's over. These posers will just melt in their homes. They'll die. Probably it's a little bit painful, but it ends pretty quickly, so they won't suffer too much.
It's kind of like
it's a pretty humane thing.
Kind of like the end of Mars Attacks.
Like, I haven't seen that.
Where the brains explode.
Exactly.
Well, it'd be kind of like how in why am I brain farting in the name now? War of the Worlds, how it's like, oh, by the way, the aliens were allergic to our air the whole time because despite their ability to travel across time and space and conquer our planet, they can't figure out that, hey, oxygen kills us. Whoa. It'd be kind of like that, except for with true metal and melting posers. So
it sounds like to me that you want to do sort of a Left Behind sort of deal, where when you start playing the music, everyone kind of melts in place and the non-posers ascend into the next level.
But then there's like this weird conspiracy of Zionist type thing, like really, really messed up military ideals of Christianity.
Well, I mean, posers exist in all religions. They exist in all people groups. So the false will die and only the true will remain. And then we can all congregate in, you know, whatever we decide is best. I don't know, Europe, America, China, I don't care. At that point, all posers in America are dead, and hopefully other countries will have adopted my plan as well, and then we can just live in true harmony.
Fair enough, man. Fair enough. You can cast your vote for us by texting 666 below. What else you got for us?
How popular do you want to get for the toilet?
How popular do I want the toilet to get?
Yeah, same thing, right? I just decided to mix up words. That's okay.
I mean, it would be ideal, to be the only source of music news for the entire planet. I think
that
would
you want that pressure, that power that you can just say, I'm the only person. You don't only get news if I approve it.
Yeah, I think
you're looking at a really dystopian future right now.
I mean, you say dystopian, I say ideal. I think that we need a benevolent dictator, and that would, of course, be me.
Burn all music magazines, right?
Yeah. I think it's funny as we get a little bigger. We've talked about it. But we get trolls the bigger that we get. So I think when it stops being fun and friendly, that would be when I shut it down.
So basically, me every week.
Yeah, essentially.
Okay, cool. How popular do you want to get?
Popular enough to like have a solid gold yacht in my front yard, but not so popular that people recognize me in public.
Well, yeah, I'm with you on that.
Healthy medium, somewhere in between there.
I pretty much agree with you 100%, man. I just want to be on a cruise ship 24/7 surrounded by beautiful people, men and women. Because let's be real, everybody likes attractive people. I want to be surrounded by them. Just a nonstop, solid gold cruise ship. which I'm stealing your idea on the solid gold part, forever, where I can write about killing posers from the comfort of my cruise ship Wi-Fi.
I think you've
so
hit,
is this after you melted all the posers?
That's assuming I'm elected president. Either way, this plan accounts for either opportunity.
I think you hit on something really interesting there, that you want to be basically rich and famous, but not so famous that people know what you look like. And I think we all might have picked the right path to go about that. Being a writer in general, or being a voice in a podcast, is ideal because nobody has any idea what you look like. Do you have any idea what, like, any author aside from, I don't know, Tom Clancy or Stephen King look like?
Stephen King is ugly.
Yeah,
have you seen that guy?
Yeah, but like, I bet there are writers that you like know and love. You have no idea what they look like.
Well, a lot of writers put their picture on the back, which to me is the height of folly.
Well, I mean, you have one, the best picture that anyone's ever taken of you ever in black and white on the back of your book, and that's just one picture ever. So, like, nobody knows what else you look like.
I mean, I don't care. I think I'm pretty. I want people to see that.
If I could just have people look at, like, my lats and nothing else, I'd be cool with that.
Calves for me.
Okay. I want the face and the hair. I gotta have that. All right. What disturbing secrets would Russian hackers find in the Toilet of Hell email accounts?
I think my shameful secret would finally be revealed.
You're a poser?
I've tried, Randall, and I don't have it in me. And this is a personal failing that I don't think I'll ever recover from. It's that I am incapable of replying to email in a timely manner.
It's true.
This is really hard for me. It's really sad, really disappointing. This is really hard for me, man. So yeah, the Russians would figure out that I suck at replying to email. They would also find like a huge number of like blind promotion items from some band called like Obama Hitler. Like, it's...
Wait, what?
Yeah, seriously, it's the worst band I've ever heard in my life.
Obama Hitler?
Yeah, it's fucking... Yeah, it's fucking terrible.
I need to find this later.
I might actually do a full write-up on him one day, or at least an interview with him, like, hey guys, why are you wasting your entire lives doing this?
I'm going to Google Obama Hitler band and see what comes up.
I'm going to be put on the watch list.
What secrets would they find in your email, 365?
That I unrepentantly enjoy baby metal.
Ooh. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise.
I've seen them twice.
Damn. I envy you. I've never seen them, but I like them.
They were at Carolina Rebellion Fest. Weren't you at that?
I was only there to support my friend, and so because it was her birthday, so I just literally followed her around and made sure she was happy.
But you weren't happy because you missed baby metal.
Well, I mean, I saw Anthrax and Megadeth, and that was pretty cool. Even though
Anthrax,
I could see them.
Yes, Megadeth.
I mean, they played a good set. They played a little bit of everything.
As long as you don't have to listen to the in-between song banter from Dave Mustaine, then you're fine.
He was actually relatively quiet, because I've seen him twice before that, and he was awful. But this time, I mean, he just kind of did his music. He said a few words, like the typical crowd riling stuff, and that was it.
I've seen him twice as well, and he's never actually said anything to the crowd.
Yeah, I saw him once years ago at Gigantor the first year. And didn't say anything bad, but my brain might have melted for having to sit through like an hour and a half of Dream Theater.
Oh.
They would be so much better live if they weren't so boring to watch.
I tell you what, let's go ahead and take a quick break here. What we're going to do is we're going to listen to some death metal. Is that okay with everybody?
Yeah,
I'm okay with that.
Here is Tower of Decadent Ice by Sallow Moth. We'll be right back. That was Tower of Decadent Ice by Sallow Moth. That's from a three-song EP just dropped last month called Moss Deceptiva. That's a one-man project named Gary Brentz, who's in a couple of bands in Dallas. And he submitted that to the inbox, the Tour of Hell inbox. And I thought, you know, that's just really grooving stuff. I got to play that on the show.
It was kind of a surprise for me because it comes in, and I'm thinking, oh, great, look, another stoner metal track. Good job. But then, surprise, death metal, and it was really great. I really dig the slow pace of the riffs. There's just way too many bands out there that just want to cram as many notes in the song over blast beats and then just go home and call it a day. But this track, and you know, fortunately there's more bands doing this now, this track just is a great example of a song just really flexing and breathing with slow progressions, doomier passages. And even once the blast beats hit, it doesn't just start shredding tech death garbage. It still moves at a pretty slow pace despite the tempo.
Yeah, and the riffs aren't completely expected either. They're a little,
yeah.
It's good. It's
creative.
Yeah, and here's the best part about this though. If you go to his Bandcamp page, sallowmoth.bandcamp, and you download this EP at name your own price EP, 90% of the proceeds will go to an animal sanctuary.
So, oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's totally worth your money to be able to hear this nice, beefy old tone.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is a win-win. You get some really sick, slow-paced death metal, and then you help out the animals. I can't think of a better way to go about your day.
Dude, that's the best. All album sales should be redirected to help animals at all times.
So, thank you so much, Gary, for sending that to us, and thanks for letting us play it on the show.
I like to say I'm going to check out stuff a lot of times on the show, and I have every intention to, but then I totally forget. But if it's for helping the animals, I'm going to throw the money at that, guys.
It's for the animals, you guys.
For animals.
I have a really important question for you guys.
What's that?
Fuck, marry, kill.
Oh, God.
Varg, KK War Slut, GG Allen.
I hate you. I hate you so much. Do I have to participate?
That's the name of the game, man. You gotta fuck one, you gotta marry one, you gotta kill one.
Oh, God.
It's a real murderer's row.
Heh.
I think I would marry Varg because despite how awful and racist he is, he seems like he protects his own. So, I mean, he could be a positive relationship there, maybe.
You could play you could play Dungeons and Dragons with him.
Yeah, I like that part. And, you know, he's had the creativity to at least try to create his own subtly very racist tabletop game. But, you know, he seems to take care of his own. So that's one positive thing you could say about him. So a marriage with him could be good.
Okay.
I'm not into weird stuff. So definitely kill GG Allen. So that just leaves, I guess, I just have a one-night stand with War Slut.
Well, I mean, he's a smaller guy, so that could be fun. Throw him around a little bit.
Yeah, just throw him around the bed. Like, you know how pets, sometimes for whatever reason, they like when you throw them on the bed and they come running back to you?
Yeah.
Maybe I could do that with him.
What do you got, 365? What do you think?
I'd kill GG Allen just for my own safety.
Yeah, makes sense.
That's wise.
Yeah, I would actually marry KK War Slut. And reason is, I'm not very tall, but I'm taller than him. So I would be the dominant one in the relationship. And I would actually fuck Varg. And the reason is, I'm a member of the tribe. So after I fuck him, he would never be able to say, I haven't had any Jewish in me.
Hey!
Oh.
Man, that's very well thought out. I can't fuck GG Allen because I don't want to get hepatitis.
Hepatitis, if you're lucky.
Yeah, he had hepatitis.
A collection of diseases.
He had hepatitis A through Z. so I agree with you guys. We got to kill GG Allen. He's a loose cannon.
All three of us would kill that guy.
Dude, have you ever watched his documentary Hated?
I don't plan to.
It's fun. He's just throwing his shit everywhere.
Well, if you'd marry him, he'd ruin all your interior decorating.
Exactly. I think I have
probably
to
try to have relations with my cat too, and that's just not okay.
Yeah, I think I have to side with Tommy on this one. That I'd marry Varg as well. I mean, I've got a nice house. You could go out, you know, traditionally craft items. It'd be cool.
Family game night, too, with his RPG.
My Farrogue.
Yeah, I mean, as long as you're white and, you know, not of anything Jewish descendants or not
the purest
any kind of,
blood.
Yeah, as long as you're kind of a purist or, like, pretty darn white, I mean, he seems like he'd probably be into you.
Well, gentle listener, I can assure you I am very, very white.
So, like, all three of us kind of have the privilege game going for this one.
We do.
I think it'd be more fun to ask somebody who is not white and or a woman. Because yeah. That could change your answers really quickly. Especially for Varg. See, for us as white men, Varg is kind of a safe bet.
Well, we say that, but he did kill a white man.
This is true.
I didn't really think about this until right now. I think I don't know. I think I got to get him out of my life.
Look, honestly, all three of these choices are terrible and horrible and awful. We're not winning in any situation, except for the kill one, I guess.
Yeah. All right, let's switch gears a little bit. This is a real simple question. It's a real simple answer for me, but I think it's fun regardless. What's your favorite dad rock band?
Toby Hitchcock.
I don't even know what that is.
Me neither.
My friend Sarah from Mind Maze showed me him, and it's super duper cheesy dad rock, dad metal, but the guitar chords are cool and the choruses are all catchy.
Okay. Does he have Bandcamp?
He's on Spotify. It's Toby Hitchcock Mercury Down, I think. Hold on, I'm looking it up. I don't listen to it often, but it's fun. Mercury's Down. Let's see if there's a Bandcamp for this guy. I doubt it. He's a dad rocker. He's probably got a Reverb Nation.
Oh, yeah, that's ideal. he got 365.
No, he doesn't even have Reverb. It's just Amazon and Spotify.
And CD, no MP3.com website?
CD Baby?
No, nothing. All right, sorry. 365, dad rock.
Would it count to include the Grateful Dead?
Yeah, that's as dad rock as it gets. Or more like
is it really?
Weird,
I don't know, they're so jam bandy, though.
They are. Like, when you say dad rock, I think, like, Steely Dan.
Or Winger.
Dude, I gotta tell you, in my mind, Grateful Dead is, like, a half step removed from Steely Dan.
Oh, come on.
Oh, I agree with that.
No.
It's, like, all the creativity and ideas of Steely Dan without any of the actual talent.
Oh, man, this is about to get violent.
No, Steely Dan was, like, a studio band, weren't they?
Yeah, but they were good.
Well, that's not the issue. They're a studio band put together to crank out, you know, generic 70s radio rock. Whereas at least with the Grateful Dead, you know, they were legit.
In what way were they legit?
They were legitimate, like, I guess hippies. Part of that era, they started out in the 60s in San Francisco. They did the acid test shows. They would play for hours on end. You know, they weren't in it for any sort of money. The only radio hit they had was in the late 80s with Touch of Grey. I don't know. I think they were far more genuine than someone like Steely Dan was.
Well, that's like saying, oh, well, you know, this crust punk band, they're genuine, man. They're homeless. They squat in an abandoned house, and all their dogs have ropes for them. They're legit.
But Grateful Dead didn't do that. That's... They went on full legitimate world tours with their wall of sound, and they had their own thing. You know.
By the way, that's the way I feel about Leftover Crack. They are the real deal. They are completely scummy crustpunks.
Horrible humans who write some, you know, fun music.
Yeah, I think that my choice has to be Thin Lizzy. So, sorry guys.
They're not dad rock at all, dude.
Dude, dad rock AF.
Like, all right. Listen, I'm gonna have to actually send you some dad rock so you understand what dad rock is. But Thin Lizzy is not even close.
All right, fine.
They're dad rock in the sense that your dad might like them, and that's about as close as it gets. I mean, as far as actual dad rock goes, no.
I don't know how else you would define it. It's old shit.
Though, it's actually kind of become a thing. Like, it's basically, think, you know how a lot of bands in the late 80s, early 90s, particularly Dream Theater, took the progressive metal label and just made really boring albums that were really generic, but they had interesting guitar chords sometimes.
I mean, I could... Let me just say, yeah, sure, I know about that.
So basically, dad rock, as far as in my experience goes, is they take that guitar chord idea, make catchy hard rock out of it. So it's just literally a dude who sounds like a fat Meatloaf dad kind of figure singing about random dad stuff over a guitarist who's quite talented playing really interesting chord progressions with really catchy choruses. That's it.
I don't think that's what dad rock is. I think that's a very narrow interpretation of the genre.
No, I mean, if you're talking about purely in musical terms and not in things my dad likes, then that's what I've experienced so far, and I've got some friends who really enjoy some pretty sweet dad rock, and that's it.
Isn't it like stuff that's just on classic rock radio? AC/DCs, sometimes The Who, Led Zeppelin.
That's my understanding of it, yeah.
Yeah, y'all are going for the more, this is things my dad likes, dad rock, not the, kind of like how people call Amon Amarth Viking metal. Yeah, sure, they sing about Vikings and
also
Viking imagery.
They call themselves Viking metal.
But they're wrong.
You're on a tear right now of being just contrarian.
I'm not being contrarian. I like musical genres to be musical and defined by musical terms. I've always been this way. I'm not being contrarian. I'm just defending the actual genre against stupidity you're both exuding right now.
You know, this next question is incredibly relevant because I'm about to change my answer to you. If you could strangle any one musician in the world and get off scot-free, who would it be?
Are you going to answer?
I mean, I feel like I'll open up the floor to you guys. I need some time to simmer down.
It's not me then?
No, it's not you.
Yay! I am not sure. Probably Dimebag. I'd strangle him again.
Jeez.
Again, he didn't get strangled the first time. He was.
Well, you know what I mean? He's already dead. He needs to die again.
As a musician, you should be ashamed of what you just said. He was brutally gunned down while performing.
Well, I'm not saying that's a good thing. That's a horrible thing. But I mean, I'm just saying, let's just assume I can go back in time and do this.
So you're not going to necromance him, in other words?
You had an easy route here to not piss everybody off by just saying you would strangle Anselmo. But you didn't. You decided to go the dirty route.
Well, yeah, but Dimebag wrote terrible riffs, and I want them gone forever.
You're wrong. 365, who you got?
I almost want to go back to one of our earlier questions with the fuck, marry, kill and put in Varg. Fuck him and then I'd kill him.
that's efficiency right there.
Just to see the fear leave his eyes in those final few seconds.
No, that's not a bad choice at all.
And then maybe sing Havana Gila to him.
Oh, yeah. Man, that's dark.
Yeah, I got really...
He deserves it.
Yeah, that's fair. I feel like maybe the Nuge could be put out of his misery.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
He's kind of fun. He's an idiot, but he's kind of fun.
He's a loud idiot. That's the problem.
Yeah. I have no affinity whatsoever for any of the music he's ever done, so this is not a difficult question for me on this one.
Would you rather have a boner nose or a testicle earlobes?
Does the boner nose, like, is it always a boner, or does it sometimes become a flaccid?
That's a good question. That wasn't explicitly defined. Let's just, for the sake of brevity, let's just say it's always a boner. Just a raging, pulsing boner.
Is it like a baby dick, though, or like a full-on, like, monstrous dick?
Everybody's different, man. You could be like K.K. Worslet and have a baby one, or you could, It's all, you know, relevant to the size. A giant one.
I'll take the testicle earlobes, and then I'll get gauges.
I would do testicle earlobes, too. Assuming the pain on the testicle earlobes are not the same as, you know, actually getting hit in the testicles.
I mean, getting punched in the ear is not fun to begin with.
Well, no, but if it, like, added the additional pain of getting punched in the testicles, then I would definitely choose a boner nose. But if they were just normal ear pain, then I would take testicle earlobes every single time.
365, what you got?
Well, I'm thinking more practicality purposes. If you have testicle earlobes and, like, you have to go running somewhere, they're going to swing and smack you in the eye.
Well, I assume you have to wear, underwear for your head, you know?
Have to wear, like, earmuff underwear to keep them locked in?
I mean, that's just
you can get gauges.
I could, but I'm not going to.
Well,
I might have to go.
Your testicle ears can flop around all over the place.
I might have to go with boner nose, just because you could hang stuff off it.
But dude,
you hit at parties.
But dude, you're just talking about running. if you have a boner nose, it's just going to flap up and hit you in the forehead over and over again.
Well, if it's a, it shouldn't flap up that much.
Well, how slow do you run? You just might as well just be walking.
How fast do you run?
I mean, not that fast, but I feel like it'd slap me in the forehead.
These are the questions that keep us up at night.
Would you rather taste everything you touch or smell everything you see? This one I still don't know. These are both horrible, horrible fates.
I think I want to smell everything I see. I want to feel closer to the animals, you know?
Because you can smell, yeah, that's true. I think that's what I'm leaning towards because I'm thinking about, like, think about it. You hug somebody and then you taste them.
You wipe? Ugh. What if you wipe?
Oh, yeah, and like your finger accidentally slips and you get a little poop on your finger and now you taste your poop.
It's not a good day.
No, but if you smell everything you see, does that, I mean, think about it. You're watching TV and you're watching your favorite horror movie and you see rotting corpses and that's all you can smell.
That's pretty bad, too. Gotta get used to it eventually.
I mean, smell isn't as offensive as taste, in my opinion. So, I mean, that I imagine, you know, if you, your job involved you dissecting corpses. Imagine tasting those all day.
That'd be tough.
Unless they are cooked corpses. Hey!
Tough, man. Tough.
365, what was your choice?
I gotta go with smell, just because everything you... You go into public and you touch stuff. Every door you open
is
touched
by
millions of people.
Imagine having your hand on a handrail and tasting that.
Yeah, escalator. Yeah.
Oof. And does this a sense travel through your clothes? It's like I'm sitting in my chair right now. Do I taste like all the back sweat that's gone under this chair over the years?
So I've got one last question here, and I think it's appropriate. What did you think this blog would be like after 2 years when you first started it?
Obviously discussing back sweat in my chair.
That's obviously my answer. Talking about the sensation of tasting the poop that's on your finger when you wipe wrong. So I'm like Nostradamus. That's what I thought from the beginning.
Absolutely. So
we are out of time for the day, but we've got one last track that's pretty dope. I will cede the floor to you guys. Is there anything that you would like to discuss before we close it up for the day?
365?
Nothing that can't wait until a future time. There is something I'm interested in discussing involving a very weird show that's coming to my area that's absurdly expensive, but we could save that for another time if you'd like.
Let's do it.
Let's save it. To be continued, if you want to hear that, be sure to subscribe to this podcast so you can get the latest comings and goings. Right now, I'm about to play you a 4 out of 5 Flaming Toilet of Hell record. This is Stoning from Dormant Ordeal. I'm Joe Thrashenkill, with me as always, Randall Thor, and our special guest, 365 Days of Horror. This has been the Toilet of Hell radio show. We'll see you next week.
See ya.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.